In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is Pentecost Sunday, and many of the writers refer to Pentecost Sunday as the birth of the church. And I've often, even as a seminarian, had a difficulty with this idea of the church beginning on Pentecost Sunday, because Christ has preached for 3 years before. He's established his cardinal of bishops, or his college of bishops. He has established St. Peter as the head of this college of bishops, all before the Holy Ghost has come. But it has occurred to me that perhaps, rather than fight this, I should accept it. Yes, I can say the church was born on Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Ghost came. But I will suggest to you that before the Holy Ghost came and before the birth, there was at least 3 years of gestation. The church was in existence, it just wasn't born yet. Much as I said to a young man just, I believe it was last week, congratulating him on being an uncle, and he says, well, the baby is not yet born. And I said, but nonetheless, you are an uncle because the baby exists. Even though the baby is not yet born, the baby is a human being. The baby is alive. The baby is here. And so I can perhaps use this same analogy with the church and say, Pentecost Sunday is the birth of the church, and not detract from the fact that Christ has been establishing this church for 3 years within his public ministry. And those 3 years were the gestation period, if you will. But the birth of the church, while it is something new, is something quite the same. When the Holy Ghost came, the Holy Ghost did not preach or teach a new doctrine to the apostles. The doctrine that the apostles were filled with was the same thing that Christ had taught them, that they had perhaps not completely understood, had forgotten. The Holy Ghost enlightens their minds, fills their hearts and souls, so that now they recall what Christ had told them during those 3 years of his public ministry. And now, instead of seeing them perhaps on a natural level, on an immature level, the apostles now see with the light of the Holy Ghost on a supernatural level. They see that what Christ has said and done has supernatural, spiritual ramifications that they perhaps did not see before. And so the Holy Ghost has come to enlighten them, not with a new doctrine, but with the same doctrine, the same teaching, the same Christ, the same God, this God who is unchanging, unalterable. The things he has revealed to us are not new. They don't change. They're the same throughout time, throughout place. It doesn't matter whether the apostles, after receiving the Holy Ghost, were preaching to kings or to paupers. It doesn't matter whether they are teaching professors in colleges and universities, or whether they're preaching to little children. The doctrine is the same. It is for the same for all men. And Christ has commissioned these apostles. Go forth and preach this doctrine to all nations. And behold, I am with you until the end of time. And it was recently asked of me, well, hasn't the gospel been preached throughout the world? Isn't the mission of the church already fulfilled? And I think we get hung up on words. I would suggest, yes, the gospel has been preached throughout the world, if you want to look at the world as this place. But the world isn't just this physical place. The world, when our Lord sent the apostles to go out and preach to the world, he's not to the place, but to the people. And the people are always new. One generation has heard the gospel and they're going to die away, and the new generation is to come and they must be preached to. The same doctrine, the same gospel must now be preached to this next generation. And so when our Lord says to go forth and preach to the whole world, not only to the place or to the existing generation, but to every generation until the end of time, until Christ returns. This same doctrine, the same Christ, the same God, the same worship has to continue until the end of time. And Christ has promised, I will be with you. And I know in our lives it often appears God is far from us because we can't see him, we can't hear him. But if we're listening, the Holy Ghost is speaking to us. We just have to pay attention. We just have to open our eyes. And when I think of St. Francis of Assisi and all the skeptics in the world today who says, show me that God is present. Show me that these things didn't just evolve and happen by accident or happenstance. And I think if you're so blind that you will not see, then there's nothing I can say to show it to you. But with the spirit of St. Francis, I ask you, just look at that tree and tell me that you think it could somehow have just happened. Look at the order in nature. Look at the world around you. How can you not see that there is a God? That there is an architect? That there is an overriding power holding all of this into existence? Look around you and see the entropy in the world around you. Everything is dying, it's decaying. How is there it's still existing? How is there this constant renewal? It is evidence for those who will see of the presence of God. And very often, in those moments of darkness, as the spiritual writers will call it, the dark night of the soul, we feel that absence, that distance. We need to really get a hold of ourselves and look around. And yes, there are bad things that happen in this life. And you say, well, how could God allow this? Because God has given us a free will. And he respects our free will, and we have the ability to choose, even if we choose wrongly. And the consequences will follow. That doesn't negate from God. But on the contrary, our faith teaches us that whatever happens, happens for the good of those who love God. And God gives, and God takes away. And we must bless God in all of those occasions. But what is going to give us the encouragement to continue this, to wake up ourselves, to shake ourselves out of our lethargy? It is really the Holy Ghost that touches our souls. It is the Holy Ghost that wakes us up and reminds us God is still in heaven. God still loves us. God still wants us to one day be in heaven with him. And even in this darkness, even in the difficulties that I'm facing in the present moment, God is with me. God is here. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. This work of the Holy Ghost prevents us from falling into despair and hopelessness and seeing nothing but evil, seeing nothing but the entropy. Everything is dying, decaying, falling apart. Our world is collapsing. That's just only from our limited perspective. There's always going to be those, let's say, gloomsday promoters. We're going to tell you everything is terrible. There is good. There is hope. And the Holy Ghost teaches us this day in and day out if we will listen to it. As a young priest, I can tell you I soon grew tired of preaching the same gospels over and over again. Sunday after Sunday, you go through a few years, I've run out of material. And I can recall going to Bishop Lewis and saying, I preach the same thing, nothing's changing. And he reminds us that, you have been sent by God, by Christ to preach in season and out of season. He says, where in that gospel do you read that our Lord promised that the people would listen? Do your best. Preach in season and out of season. Those who listen and believe will be saved. Do what God has given you to do. And it reminds me of St. Francis of Assisi. Before he died, he gathered his brothers around him and he said to them, I have done what was given me to do. My life is finished. Now it's your turn. You must do what God has given you to do. And the same truth, the same doctrine, the same rule, the same life, he handed on to the next generation. And he teaches them that they must in turn hand this over to the next generation. And it is the Holy Ghost who keeps this going, even though the members of the community can look around and say, but this is going wrong, this is happening. Even in the lifetime of St. Francis of Assisi, there were those who wanted to build monasteries and said, but we're not a monastic order. We need houses. That goes against the ideal of St. Francis, the ideal from the gospel. We are imitators, followers of Christ, and Christ said of himself, the birds of the air have the nest, the foxes have their den, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. St. Francis of Assisi pleaded with Pope Honorio, said, please don't ordain my brothers. That's not our mission. We are mendicants. You ordain them and make them priests, then they will be appointed pastors and they will be sent here and there. That's not our mission. But here I stand as a Franciscan before you, preaching to you as your pastor. Things have changed. And I've been told, you see, as a bishop, you can take off your religious habit. You can put on the habit of the secular priest, of the ecclesiastics. I said, yes, but I was a Franciscan first. And even though I may not be able to fulfill the ideal of St. Francis as written it, it is still the ideal. It is still something to strive for. And I believe it is the Holy Ghost that holds this ideal out in front of every Franciscan. It is the Holy Ghost who holds out the ideal of the true Catholic to every one of us. Here is the ideal. Yes, you've fallen short. You can't live up to that ideal. That doesn't mean you throw the ideal away. You don't throw the goal away. You reach for it. And someone asked, well, will you know, how do you know when you have the Holy Ghost? I said, well, that's a difficult question because the Holy Ghost isn't going to tell you. God wants to keep you ignorant so that you keep striving. In the spiritual life, if you overcome one fault and you advance up the ladder one step, God holds the carrot up a little bit higher and say, okay, climb one more step. And if you climb that second step, guess what? He's going to say, very good. Now there's another step in front of you. Climb one more step higher. And if you accomplish that, he will always say, as long as you live, my friend, take another step. Reach higher. God is infinite. The spiritual rewards are infinite. We can never say it is enough. And the Holy Ghost will reveal the truths of God, the truths of our life, of our very existence, if we will cooperate with him, if we will keep reaching higher and higher. And our goal is to fill every single ounce of our being with this love of God, so that we can truly say with St. Paul, it is no longer I, but it is Christ living within me. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.